Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we focus on the YWCAA, the YWCA of the Greater Capital Region. We welcome their executive director, Dequetta Jones, who is one of our great friends, to tell us about what is going on. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. And thank you so much, Joe, for having me back again.
Well, it's always great to see you. You're always doing great work. And it's a it's always a pleasure to have you. The last time you were on the program, I think, was in the fall.
Yes.
We were talking about Brava.
Yes, Brava. Yes.
So how did that go?
That went awesome. We raised probably almost 1,000 bras. And again, bras are still available year-round, you know, for any women or girls or non-binary people that are in need of bras. And we're always collecting bras year-round.
And you're collecting them so people can donate them and or people can get them if they need them. Now, let us talk about this organization has been around for a long time, since 1883, serving women in the city of Troy.
Yes.
So how has that grown and what is that mission now? Because it's not it's not very different from what it originally was, but obviously it's a little more fine-tuned.
Yes. Yeah. So YWCA of the Greater Capital Region has been around for 136 years this year. And today we're one of the area's largest providers of supportive housing to both single women and women with children that would otherwise be homeless or living in substandard housing. In addition to economic empowerment, homelessness prevention, food security, and other supportive programs, every single day, YWCA GCR houses 104 women and over 50 children. Our mission is dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all.
Okay, that's a lot. You know that's a lot, right? But
yes,
if you do it, if you do it in a, at a local level, on the ground, one by one, I assume it's easier to take on.
Absolutely. And it's collective power. You know, it's not just our association. We have over 200 associations across the United States. And collectively, we serve 2.3 million women and girls and their families every single year.
I know we you and I have talked a lot about what the YWCA does and the programs that you offer. And certainly we'll get into that this morning. But talk a little bit about racism being a part of the problem, racism being a driver of bringing the people to you, and ultimately how you work on those issues of economic empowerment and homelessness prevention. And because I think we look at homelessness as a problem, and maybe we don't think of it as a racial problem, or we look at economic empowerment or economic hardships, and we don't think of it as a racist problem.
Absolutely. So for one, with our, we're a local association of YWCA USA. And given that we're charged with such a bold mission, we have three key elements that we focus on. So it's civil rights and human rights. It's economic empowerment and advancement of women. And it's also the health and safety of women. As it relates to racism, one way that we bring awareness to racism is through our annual Stand Against Racism campaign, where we bring awareness to institutional and structural racism and how we can break down the barriers that impact especially people of color, as well as people with limited income. And also, given that it is a driving force within our mission, we make sure to be a part of addressing those barriers. So, for instance, with homelessness, we serve particular women that are homeless or previously homeless, and the goal is to help them to get to self-sufficiency. And we do that through different programs such as our economic empowerment program, the Jamison Rounds Ready for Work.
So let's talk about this. This is a 14-week intensive job readiness training program for women. Seymour Fox, our partner in this, is also a huge supporter and funder of this project.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Over that 14 weeks, what happens?
Yeah, so let me back up just a little bit about the Jamison Rounds Ready for Work program. So it was established in 2008, so over 10 years ago. And the goal was for us to help women to secure, to seek, secure, and maintain employment. To date, we have had 194 women graduate from that program, and we have an 83% success rate, which means 6 months post-graduation, they have either been able to secure a livable wage, enroll in a trade or higher education, or attain their GED. Now, at one point, until just recently this past fall, we actually had to reevaluate the program after 10 years. And instead of doing three sessions, starting this year, we will be doing two sessions. So it went from 12 weeks to now 14 weeks of a program, a total of 280 hours.
So that idea of two sessions per year, so the next session is coming up.
March 6th will be the first session.
March 6th. And,
yes.
then later on in the year, you'll do the second.
Absolutely.
14-week program. So I'm not sure, I think you're very proud of this, but let me congratulate you. 83% success rate. That is since 2008. That is amazing.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that and how of what success looks like.
Absolutely. So for instance, success looks like post a woman graduating from the Jamison Rounds Ready for Work, we have seen women go on to secure livable wage employment. So they no longer require as much assistance, or some of them are completely off of public assistance. We have a lot of women that live at YWCA and also work at YWCA. And that was as a result of them attending the Jamison Rounds Ready for Work program. Some of those women no longer live at YWCA, but are able to live out in the community, and they're still employed at YWCA. A lot of the women, 100% of the women that we work with in this program are living in poverty, period. We know that factually. Some of the barriers is lack of education, sporadic work experience, homelessness, domestic violence, mental health. You know, so we work with this population to help them elevate themselves so that they can become self-sufficient for themselves as well as for their families.
So it's and I think sometimes we use terms and we don't think about what they mean, but working poor. You have people who are working and working very hard, and yet they don't have enough to be able to keep themselves afloat.
That's right. And then they have large families also, so that makes it more complicated.
Right.
Sometimes we have women that have six children, four children, three children, and that impacts them financially as well, especially when you take in consideration child care.
Now, we talked about racism, but sexism has to be a part of this, too.
Absolutely. And that's why one of the elements that we focus on is around empowering and advancing women economically. That's why we focus on women. Although we do serve men, for this particular program, it's focused specifically on women.
So almost 200 women have graduated from this program. And as I said, there's an 83% success rate, which means 6 months post-graduation, securing a livable wage, and enrolling in a trade or higher education.
Absolutely.
Education can be a part of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have had women after they have graduated from the program, they have applied to Hudson Valley Community College or a university, and they have been able to secure that degree and to move on to the desired fields that they're interested in. And, you know, that in itself is something. It's a success for the women that go through the program, that when they came to us, they didn't have their GED, or now it's known to as TASC.
Right.
So being able to partner with Questar 3, where they can go through their TASC preparation classes to help them to pass the test, and then for them to move on to the next level.
We have less than a minute, so let me just ask, ultimately, what's the best way for people to help?
So the people to help YWCA in general, I mean, there are a plethora of ways for the community to support YWCA. It can be through monetary donations. It can be through volunteering. Every Thursday, we provide a weekly community meal, and we feed anywhere between 45 to 120 people. We're always looking for cooks. We always look for sponsorship with different events that we have, such as our Stand Against Racism, which will be taking place in the end of April of 2019. Also, our Resource for Women's Awards Luncheon. And we also have Board of Directors opening slots. That is another volunteerism way to get involved as well.
And if people need help, they can contact you.
Absolutely. They can contact us at 518-274-7100.
We'll have the number on our website also, ywca-gcr.org, and we'll have that information on our website as well. Dequetta Jones, thank you very much for being with us. You are the executive director of the YWCA of the Greater Capital Region, a true hero in our region, and I thank you very much for sharing your good work with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Links will be posted along with this interview, wamc.org/roundtable, falling into place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress.